back to Lori on Liberty on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Welcome back to the Lori on Liberty show with your guest host, Hal Shurtleff of Camp Constitution, and your guest co-host, Tom
Tricorn Moore. Tom Moore, huzzah!
Who's also with Camp Constitution. And again, I want to thank Lori for giving us the opportunity on this
show. Thank you, Lori.
Online, all the way from Northern California, you can probably smell the smoke on her, is Debbie Bacigalupi. And by the way, I had to rehearse that name about a year ago when I started announcing it. She was a guest on my radio show that we do, Camp Constitution Radio. This past summer, she was an instructor at Camp Constitution. Debbie is a rancher. She is an expert on Agenda 21. She's attended many of the UN conferences in different parts of the world. She's a friend of Willie Soon and many others in our circle. Debbie, thanks for coming on such short notice.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and pleasure to be in the presence of you both. And Hal, I just thank you for starting Camp Constitution. It is such a phenomenal event. Everybody should go. Get your families go this in 2019. It really is an awesome event, and I cannot stop talking about it. I want to do it everywhere.
Lori's going to accuse us of having an infomercial here, but you gave a class at camp, and I entitled it California Wildfires.
I went 21. Back and I listened to that a second time. It's so unfortunately, it's so prophetic considering what's happening right now. She just called it what they were doing wrong, and now it's like it's deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say.
So, Debbie, let's get right down to it. What is the cause of these terrible wildfires that are raging right now in California?
Well, most of us would say we knew this was coming. It was predictable. In fact, even my ex-Rhino governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, had said back in 2011, wildfires are coming. But his reason was because of climate change. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, guys, was a warning that they knew there would be something in California's near future that would include catastrophic wildfires. You could look it up. You could look up Arnold Schwarzenegger wildfires, you know, back in 2011 and see that he was forecasting it. How could you forecast something like that?
Mm-hmm.
How can you forecast something like that? Well, and his blame, again, was climate change, global warming, man-made anthropogenic global warming. By the way, I'm getting ready to go to Poland to COP24 Convention of Parties for the next United Nations big conference on climate change, where they are going to try and pass a carbon tax, a global carbon tax to stop. And they're already using the excuse of California wildfires as a reason to do that and the bad air quality because of man-made global warming. Now, the main reason for our California wildfires is because we are not doing proper management, not just forest management, but grass and brush management as cattle ranchers. And so there's a couple things that are at play. One is the limit. We're losing our ungulates, whether it's deer or elk or cattle or, you know, the horses. And we're being limited on the land that we can use. Over 30 million acres in California, from Redding all the way up to or down to San Joaquin Valley, is being studied for limited to no human use based on biological diversity. That is all anybody who knows Agenda 21, that should be going, the bell should be going off. We are importing wood from Quebec, and we are being limited on forest management here, reducing our fire loads here. We do not use biomass as energy. They are destroying our dams. They are sending out water to the ocean for a indicator fish, a delta smelt fish, which is, a truck and haul. What's truck and haul? They truck and haul these fish. They put them in trucks, they haul them, and then they plant them. And then they say, oh, they're an endangered species. By the way, fish all over the world have been planted. So
yeah.
They say dams across the United States need to be destroyed because salmon population, think about all the water going out to the ocean. Then you have less water. You have higher grass, dry grass during the summers. You have more dead trees. You can't log. I mean, is it all coming together or what?
Debbie, real quickly. So we're in New England, and I've traveled out west extensively. It's amazing just how huge California is. Like the top of California in Redding, if you drive down from Oregon, which I did, is parallel with Cape Cod. And then if you get to Tijuana, that's parallel with like Charleston, South Carolina. It's just a huge and beautiful state. So we're in New England right now. That's where we're broadcasting from. Can you just give us, we've heard these are the worst fires ever in American history. And I've just been praying, and I pray right now, Lord, please stop these fires and keep these families from harm and their ranches. Can you just give us... let us know what the magnitude is of these fires. How extensive, how big are they sweeping across the state? Like what, how can we picture how bad this inferno is, Debbie?
Yeah, sure. No, if you were driving up 5, you'll see some remnants of some of the fires. There was this car fire that was, it happened in Redding over the summer. That was where I was born, in Redding. And then we lived in a Mount Shasta. And if you drive up from Redding to Mount Shasta, for example, which is about an hour's drive through the Shasta National Forest, you will see that the Delta fire ravaged the parts of I-5. Where you couldn't see because there were so many trees, too many. We don't log, remember. We've got a moratorium in many cases here in California, because California needs to be a carbon sink for global warming. I mean, it is ridiculous. So you do see, you know, remnants of fires. For example, the Paradise Fire that you hear about now, on a main freeway like I-5, you would not see it. It's so far off the freeway that you would not see it. The Klamathon Fire that happened just north of my parents' ranch, it was about, you know, 15 miles away from my parents' ranch. You don't hear about it. Over 30,000 acres was, might have been a little bit more than that, was just went up in flames. It's mostly grass and brush. We are not managing the grass and the brush in California. Who manages the grass and the brush? The livestock, the deer, the elk, the horses. And so as you limit human use, you also limit those year-round grazers that, I'll get to more of your question there, but I do want to, before I know we're, my time is limited, I do want to put this in before I forget. Secretary Ryan Zinke has, and Trump, have both been here to California in the last 48, 72 hours, whatever. I'm not a big fan of Ryan Zinke. He seems to think that the water should go to the Indians, and this is in Montana and California and probably elsewhere. But we all need water. Farmers and ranchers need water, and the water that's dispersed, that's spread out, actually helps manage these wildfires. If you pull all the water to one resource, whether it's the ocean or you let one people control it, and you don't divvy it out like has been done over the last 100 years, where you're seeing not these catastrophic wildfires. It just makes sense. The more you water crops, the more the groundwater, it feeds back into the aquifers, and you've got groundwater. So Ryan Zinke's plan for wildfires is to log it. But that's only part of the problem. The bigger problem is the grass fires, the brush fires, the one-hour fires is what they call them, or the one-hour fuel. And they burn up so fast and so, and they spread so fast. So they burn fast and they spread fast, and then you've got all these embers and stuff flying in the air. It's only, Zinke does not have the answers. The answer is letting people farm, letting people ranch, letting people have private property. That is how you're going to save and let people timber. Quit all this regulation and fines and fees and, you know, adding wolves into our atmosphere, or not into our atmosphere, sorry, into our landscape. Gosh, I'm so rushed. I'm sorry. I just feel like 30 minutes is so short a time. But, so if you're going to add more predators, look, Zinke wants to add grizzly bears. So what are the grizzly bears going to go after? All the ungulates that are doing the year-round management to suppress these wildfires, which some of them do occur naturally. California is a drought-ridden state. It always has been, and it always will be, but for the ability of man to divert water from one end of the state to the far end of the state, as you just mentioned how big this state is, that is why we are the breadbasket of the world, of the nation and of the world, is because man, brilliant man, had the ability to create aquifers, diversions, storage lakes, hydroelectric facility, all these amazing water uses where water is recycled over and over and over again, used for so many beneficial uses, including fire suppression.
I was surprised, Debbie, when I drove through the Golden Valley, which, as you say, is the breadbasket of the world, just how bad a shape the state roads were. This is about 3 years back. I'm like, this is such a wealthy state, as you say, feeding the country and the world. And these roads, why are these roads in such bad shape to truck the food out of there, you know?
No kidding. And, you know, I mean, there's so many factors coming in. And I'd like to just throw some of these things in, talking about the wealthiest nation or wealthiest state. Look, we have biotechnology. We have high tech. We have Hollywood. We've got farming, agriculture, all these multi-billion dollar industries. And why are California roads so bad? Why? Why are we not able to log? We have trees up the wazoo here in California, but we're importing timber from Quebec. We can't. If you want to do a forest man, look, my parents' ranch, it buddies up to forest. And my parents have about 200 acres in forest, in trees. If they want to do timber, you know, make some money off of the lumber, use it, recycle it, all the good things, the oils, everything, the byproducts that come from timber. They have to do a full-on timber harvest plan. These timber harvest plans are thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to get done. And now include not only the spotted owl, which mitigation, which the spotted owl, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, oh, I'm sorry, it used to be game, now it's wildlife, because it's not about game anymore, it's not about ungulates, it's not about deer, it's about wild, rewilding America. So Fish and Wildlife, California Fish and Wildlife has said, oh, you know what, oops, we made a mistake when it came to the spotted owl. It's not because people are timbering, it's because the barred owl, B-A-R-R-E-D, barred owl is mating with the spotted owl. So, but this still is included in the timber harvest plan. And registered foresters, if you want to timber your land, a registered forester has to come in for 6 hours and hoot. What's hooting? They sit there and go hoot like an owl would do, and have to listen for 3 hours in two different places, so 6 hours. And if they hear a hoot, they can't.
That's my hooting. I could be a hooter.
Yeah, you'll get paid good money. Well,
yeah.
Now included in these timber harvest plans are wolf mitigation. So if there's any sign of a wolf, they declare it wolf habitat, and you're limited as to whether or not you can timber your own land. This is crazy.
Well, of course, it sounds crazy, but we know that there's a plan. It's really Agenda 21. It's to get people off the farms, off the ranches. And I was talking with Tom before we come on the show about a forest and a grassland is much like a garden, your own personal garden. If I had sold my home or left my home and nobody was there for a couple of years, you go back and see everything overgrown, and very quickly. The same thing with a forest. And when it's overgrown, it's more prone to catch fire, much easier. You get dead branches and dead things. A forest is no different. And if you own your own, I'm sure your parents are great stewards of that land.
Excellent.
They're not going to destroy, because it's going to be for the next generation. I've known farmers, people in Vermont who harvest maple syrup. And, you know, in Vermont, the 40-year, 50-year cycle, it's not like you get a crop of maple trees every 5 years. So if I'm going to plant a maple tree, if I'm 50 or 60 years old, that's for my grandchildren to harvest. And they've been doing a very good job of it without any government interference whatsoever. And
you know, Al, you bring up a good point. My dad, when my parents got their ranch, we didn't inherit it. My dad could have inherited his dad's ranch in Jackson, California, but he didn't want to, which actually that was in Big Burn area, I think about 3 years ago, we were worried about my grandpa's ranch and that my aunt lives at now. Grandpa rest his soul. But, you know, my dad and mom worked hard to get their own ranch, and they have 4,500 acres, 4,500 acres here in California. And we are surrounded by hills, dry hills, and also forests, beautiful forests. And so it's a mix of things. It's a mix of grass, and it's a mix of trees and all sorts of things. And my dad, when he could, he can't do this so easily these days because of regulation, put in lots of ponds. Natural ponds, where he saw, you know, a natural being, where he would see where water was coming out of the ground. You'd see it in the summertime. There'd be green grass around there. My dad is a civil engineer. This is the area of expertise, open space, land management. That's his area, dams, water. Those are his areas of expertise. And he put in, there was only one pond at our ranch when my parents bought it. Almost 32 years ago. And so my dad has put in at least 13 more ponds at the ranch, including one that we call a lake. But he was limited on the size of that lake that he could put in because California Fishing Department of Fish and Game, wildlife, because it's not about game anymore, Hal, it's about rewilding America. So he was limited as to the size of pond he wanted, he could put in, or pay $5,000 more a year for Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife, to come and manage his pond every year. Those ponds are vital to fire suppression, and so are the livestock. So our livestock keep the grass and the brush low all year round. So there was a fire with our water, with our low grass, our my dad working hard to thin out dead trees, which we're getting to a point in the United States under Hillary Clinton. We know this would have been the case. Under Gavin Newsom, my new governor, it'll probably be the case. You are limited as to what you can do on your own private property. And as we see in BLM cases, they could burn 800,000 acres in one fell swoop. And you have the ranching family like the Hammonds who burned 100 acres in a backfire get in prison twice for domestic treason, for domestic terrorism.
Debbie, real quick, what would happen? Crazy. What would happen realistically if Trump were just to abolish the BLM? If tomorrow there's no BLM?
And by the way, BLM it stands for Bureau of Land Management. Not
yes.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Yes, that's a good clarification.
Because a lot of city slickers around here, they may not know what BLM
is. So Hal and I are from the old Ron Paul revolution, and the word abolish is just a huge, you know, you name the alphabet agency, we could do without it. It's not in the Constitution. So if there's no BLM tomorrow, what's that really going to mean?
Yeah, no, I think it makes no difference. I think the organization makes no difference whether or not we have it. To a private landowner, it makes a huge difference. But, you know, if BLM went away, the public wouldn't even notice it, really. The people who don't have to deal with BLM.
So it'd be very beneficial. They don't do it. They don't do really anything beneficial for America that you can point to, do they?
Well, supposedly they are supposed to be managing, just like a manager, not owning. They're owning land now, and they are not supposed to own land, which means that is taken from the private sector. When the land is taken from the private sector, it's taken out of the tax pool, which that tax pool helps your local community. The BLM has caused more aggravation for ranchers than any other organization. We see the case in Lavoie Finicum, which I know you all had the chance to hear.
We know the Finicums, yeah.
Yeah, just an amazing story. And, you know, Lavoie Finicum was warning us about these cooperating agencies. These collaborating agencies on how they were usurping private ownership, the Constitution, liberty, and freedom.
Right.
He was on to something. And that is what they're using for all these. You guys are going to hear more and more, if you haven't already, even around these these wildfires in California, is what they're calling collaborative federalism collaborative federalism. Our founding fathers were dual federalists. They believed in state sovereignty and then the limited and defined powers
That's
of the
right.
federal government.
Absolutely.
We are seeing, in the California wildfires, all these cooperating agencies coming together to solve the problem of California wildfires. No, it's simple. You let give the land back to the people, as was Congress's job. Congress shall disperse of the land. That was their job. Not to the government, but to the people, to the state.
Absolutely.
And let the state, even though, but here, I got to throw this in. My state is in such dire straits with our long history now of being democratically controlled, people who believe in, you know, man is the cause of so much devastation on planet Earth, Gaia, that, you know, if California were in control, Jerry Brown were completely in control of California land, we would be in big trouble, because it would be like a, I mean, worse than it is right now. It's pretty bad. It's getting worse. We know that there's going to be more under Gavin Newsom. He believes in the Paris Treaty. He believes in the United Nations. So we're I'm grateful and thankful that Trump is coming in and talking to Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom. Isn't that funny? As an aside, so here you have Gavin Newsom, who was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle. He cheated on her. And then you have Trump and Gavin next to each other. Gavin Newsom married the ex-husband of Kimberly Guilfoyle, and Kimberly Guilfoyle is dating Donald Trump Jr. Is that so funny?
small world, I guess.
Small world. But so going back to your question about, Tom, about the what's it look like in California. Where my parents' ranch is, in northern California, we are just below the Oregon border. We are just below the Klamath River. The Klamath River has 4 clean, green, hydroelectric, renewable energy dams, fire control, flood suppression, or flood control, fire suppression, irrigation, all this beautiful diversity of plants and animals and wildlife and people and recreation and all this stuff, and yet they want to destroy those 4 clean hydroelectric energy dams. And Zinke, the Department of Interior, does not want to get involved. So this is, we should all be going, okay, Interior, what's up with you? But they want to destroy all these dams, sending 20 million cubic yards of sediment out to the ocean. Now, why am I bringing this up as when we're talking about California wildfire? That is water in all those storage lakes behind those dams. There's at least 4 that they want to destroy. Mm. That is water. Those are lakes. They're lakes that you can dip into.
Yeah.
And with buckets and buckets of water to dump out and destroy, help suppress some of these wildfires that are happening in a state that is historically drought ridden.
You know what's ironic about that, Debbie? When those dams were built back in the time of Roosevelt during the Depression, they were just considered one of the great wonders of the world. And even like, liberal folk singers like Woody Guthrie wrote a song about the Great Grand Coulee Dam and just all the good they would do for the country. And why is that spirit missing with liberals of today? I don't understand that at all.
Well, it's part of this biodiversity treaty, pre-Columbian. Anything that wasn't here before old Christopher Columbus got here is bad stuff. And, and you look at these dams, they've been there for 100-plus years. There's an incredible aqua system and viable biosphere. You disrupt animal, and you said sediment into the ocean, but these people, they just don't care. And what they, and again, they're blaming it on climate change. So if you're watching your news at home in New York City or in Boston, and you see these big fires, and you say, oh my goodness, it's climate change that's causing this. People are wearing coats because it's pretty a little cool there now this time of year, except if you're exposed to the fire. Yet they're still being told climate change, and we better do something about it. I better stop using, better turn my thermostat down. I start getting my bicycle and get that solar panel attached to my house so I can stop the fires in California.
Yeah. And, you know, and Hal, it is about connecting the dots. So you put all those things that we've already talked about. You know, we don't have the ability to put animals in the forest like we used to, because you have a bunch of crying, whiny, you know, liberal whatevers saying, no, we can't have cattle in there and we can't have grazing, like, you know, with the Bundys, for example, and public lands. And you know, BLM back in 92, Ammon Bundy told me this, back in 92 when his dad started going, you know, telling the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, look, you're not managing the land. I don't want to work with you. You're not working with us. So back in 92, he was already having, the Bundys were already having problems. Now, fast forward, there were 54 ranches back then. Now there's only one in that area, the Bundys. So what Ammon told me was there was a big poster in the office that said, no more moo in 92, no more moo in 92, cattle free in 93. In other words, if cattle are free, you have no ranchers. So they didn't want, and as you all know, if you follow the global warming scare, cattle are one of the three bad things when it comes to climate change and global warming, the methane. So there's carbon, bad, cattle, bad, methane, bad, and petroleum, bad. All those three things, and those are the three products that combine give us the most byproducts as human beings that, and I know you love when I say this, you cannot be a vegetarian or a vegan in modern day society. It is impossible because every second of the day, unless you're in some remote area of a forest where you don't have cell phone service and you're not using any technology, you are using byproducts of those three things every single second of the day. You could not survive without them in modern day society. And yet those are the things that the climate, global warming, anthropogenic scaremongers say are the biggest contributors to global warming.
Debbie, we have 1 minute left. Where can listeners find out more about you and the work you've done besides going to our YouTube channel and watching the incredible class you gave there back in August?
Oh, that was so much fun, and I think you invited me to 2019, and I cannot wait to go.
Excellent.
Again.
We can't wait to have you.
Good.
Yeah, thanks for coming. You're fantastic. Everybody go and watch Debbie's video at campconstitution.net or at our webpage. And
YouTube.
Debbie, give out your site.
Yeah, I partner with, or I'm an ambassador for Patrick Wood. He wrote a book called Technocracy Rising. He's just written another book about technocracy. You've got to read it. He even covers that thing called collaborative governance at Lavoie Finicum. He learned it from Lavoie Finicum as well in his newest book. So I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, technocracy.news, and then you go to the About page. So technocracy.news is the website. And when you go to the About page, you'll see my little bio there, and that's how you can contact me. I look forward to hearing
from
you.
Excellent. All right, Debbie, thank you so much.